The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, September 20th, 2019. I'm Eric Tegedoff. A whistleblower complaint against President Trump sets off tug-of-war between Congress and the White House. And students around the world strike today to demand action on climate change. In Washington, D.C., the revelation of a whistleblower complaint from the intelligence community could have potentially explosive consequences. The complaint involving a, quote, promise between Trump and a foreign leader was so alarming to a U.S. intelligence official working in the White House that the official went to the Inspector General of the intelligence community. That's according to the Washington Post, which also quotes two people familiar with the matter as saying the complaint centers around the country of Ukraine. Democratic Representative and House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff revealed the existence of the complaint last week. Schiff also reported that the acting director of national intelligence blocked the inspector general from sharing it with Congress, which is required by law. In a series of tweets, Trump called the report fake news. Inspired by 16-year-old climate activist Greta Thunberg of Sweden, students around the world are joining a climate strike today calling for immediate action on climate change. Eric Gladys has this report from Texas.
Jacob Slaughter with the group Aggies for Climate Justice says students' aims include creating a glide path for workers to transition out of the fossil fuel industry. He says he hopes state and university leaders will listen to their constituencies who want officials to act now.
We're specifically calling for the university to decarbonize the campus and divest from fossil fuels, meaning cut their financial ties with the fossil fuel industry.
The latest report by an international panel of climate scientists warns that just 11 years remain to reverse course on climate pollution before the path toward catastrophic impacts becomes irreversible. Critics of the strike say students are being manipulated by environmental groups, a claim flatly denied by Thunberg.
Groups concerned about air quality, climate change, and local control are speaking out to oppose the EPA's plan to impose a lower federal standard for vehicle emissions and prevent states from requiring more pollution controls on cars.
The administration claims this will lower the price of new cars and boost sales. But Paul Billings with the American Lung Association says it will lead to dirtier tailpipe emissions that hurt human health directly and indirectly by worsening climate change.
Climate change makes air quality worse. We have more hot, smoggy days, more droughts that drive wildfire, more extreme weather events. So not taking action to address carbon pollution makes air quality worse and threatens health.
The administration is revoking a Clean Air Act waiver that allowed California and 13 other states, plus Washington, D.C., to enact higher tailpipe emissions standards.
That was Suzanne Potter reporting. This is PNS. A new study from the journal Science shows a steady decline of nearly 3 billion wild birds in North America since 1970.
Nearly a half a century ago, about 10.1 billion birds used to soar the skies across the United States and Canada. That has dropped by 29%. Scientists say while the cause varies, from development, agricultural conversion, to even sea level rise, they all stem from human activity. Julie Rathmill is with Audubon, Florida.
Things that are even really common showed declines, things like Baltimore orioles, barn swallows. These are common birds that we see, especially on migration.
The research led by Cornell University conservation scientist Kenneth Rosenberg covered wild birds.
A proposed rule change for those needing help to put food on the table this winter will have drastic consequences, according to Advocates Fighting Hunger. Roz Brown has a report on how this could affect Minnesotans.
The Trump administration's effort to tighten eligibility requirements for SNAP benefits, formerly known as food stamps, would kick at least 35,000 low-income Minnesotans off of SNAP, according to Colleen Moriarty with Hunger Solutions. She says that includes 18,000 Minnesota children.
The logic behind this was we want people to be more self-sufficient. If people find themselves in the unenviable position of needing assistance for food, taking them off the program and limiting their access to food is not going to help them become more self-sufficient.
Moriarty says those without SNAP benefits will fall back on state food pantries, which already report nearly 3.5 million visits every year.
And finally, Wisconsin lawmakers are wading into gun control. Governor Tony Evers and Democratic lawmakers are touting support for a red flag bill, but they're receiving blowback from Republicans after the governor's comments on mandatory gun buybacks. Thursday's news conference was supposed to be about strengthening background checks and extreme risk protection orders, or a proposed red flag law to allow a judge to seize people's firearms for up to a year if they pose a threat to themselves or others. But when Evers said he'd also consider mandatory buyback of assault weapons, top Republican leaders lashed out, claiming it's all a ploy to take guns from legal owners. Democratic Representative Melissa Sargent of Madison sponsors the red flag bill.
I haven't seen any legislation when it comes to gun buybacks this session, and quite frankly, I'm investing my time and energy into these two bills and commit to work hard with the Attorney General, the Governor, and my colleagues on both sides of the aisle to move them forward and save lives in Wisconsin.
17 states and the District of Columbia have passed similar red flag bills. I'm Eric Tegedoff for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.